Greetings, my friend. We are all interested in the future, for that is where you and I are going to spend the rest of our lives. And remember, my friend, future events such as these will affect you in the future. You are interested in the unknown, the mysterious, the unexplainable. That is why you are here. And now, for the first time, we are bringing to you the full story of what happened on that fateful day. We are giving you all the evidence based only on the secret testimony of the miserable souls who survived this terrifying ordeal. The incidents, the places. My friend, we cannot keep this a secret any longer. Let us punish the guilty. Let us reward the innocent. My friend, can your heart stand the shocking facts about
Radio Mysterioso?
Yeah, I can hear you great, if you can hear me all right.
I would like to talk about the cases that I collected from 2014.
Oh, okay, sure. Okay, well, you know, if you listen, we'll start now. If you listened last time, you should have, because it was a good interview, and I think we'll dispense with the formalities, since Albert's got stuff he wants to talk about, and we don't want to keep him up too late. How you doing?
I'm doing great. I got a little cold, but I'm ready to go.
Okay.
Yeah, I want to talk about some of the cases I already collected for this year, 2014.
Sure, yeah, that'd be great.
Yeah. I already got 18 cases.
Wow.
About humanoids. Most of them are like your lone humanoid you find out on the road or maybe on your bedroom.
Yeah.
I got an interesting case here. I know you're from L.A., from down in California, so this one is, I got it from the witness directly, from her.
Yeah.
I will give her name. She wants to be anonymous. I have her name, but she's going to be anonymous here in the meantime.
Yeah.
She's from L.A. I don't know the exact location in L.A., but this is recent, the 17th of February, around midnight. She wakes up and hears a weird clicking sound that she had heard before. She dismissed it and went back to sleep. Later she woke up again and from the side of her bed. He was kneeling next to her. He was only a few inches away from her.
Uh-huh.
And she described this person, humanoid, whatever you want to call it, of Caucasian with dark brown hair and creased lines around the edges of his mouth. He appeared to be smiling at her, she was said in a creepy sort of way. His eyes were like larger than humans, and they curved slightly around the side of his face, making it look like Oriental. And what really frightened her was his eyes were completely black. They were like all black, no pupils. There were some white behind the irises, but she could only see it when he were to move his eyes at all.
Oh, I see, yeah.
On the way to the right or left, yeah. She mentioned to me that it was a demon, I don't know why, that had come to possess her. She thought this, and he apparently was able to read her mind. He laughed at her thought and told her that he was not a demon, that he was a mortal being like her, and had come to take her somewhere. At this point, she has no further recollection of what happened. She apparently went back to bed or went somewhere with him. I don't know, but she didn't. She hadn't had any regression. I thought it was kind of a weird encounter.
Well, was this in somebody's house in the urban area in Southern California, like around Los Angeles, you said?
Yes, yes.
Okay, yes. And that was really recently, too.
February, I'll tell you right now, the 14th. The 17th, I'm sorry.
February
17th.
How many of these reports do you get, like, straight from the witnesses? I guess you're getting more now.
Lately, I've been getting a lot from witnesses directly, mostly email, and then I give them my number. If they're local, I could maybe meet them in person. If not, I talk to them on the phone. I've been getting emails from South Africa, California, different places lately. It's been kind of a rash.
Yeah, you're probably going to be getting more now too.
Well, and before that, and also in February, there was a report from Cryptozoology News about a group of hikers in Arizona and Sonora, in the Sonoran Desert.
Mm-hmm.
This is around the 11th of February, and they were hiking, and they came upon a strange reptilian-looking humanoid out in the desert.
Oh, I think I read this one.
You read this one? Yeah. This is February also. Not also, but it was a very recent report. And there were several witnesses to the event also.
Uh-huh.
And they said it was a large humanoid that eyes like a snake, had like a yellow stripe in the middle of the eye, and it had green and red scales in the face and head. And the red color was the kind of like the same as the desert sand, so it kind of blended in. And that it had a red mouth that looked like it had blood around it. But it didn't look like it was bleeding. It looked like a pattern to them. It reminded them of a chameleon. But it looked like a person also. It was like a mixed reptilian human humanoid.
Yeah.
It had some long arms and with claws, and this frightened the hikers. I can see why.
Yeah.
And right before that, and also in February in England, this is also from Cryptozoology News, during the flooding there and near London, student on a train saw a strange creature running on the fields, very tall, like almost 3 meters, that according to her, 25-year-old student, anonymous, it looked like a troll type of creature. Running through the soggy fields, or their flooded fields. She thinks there were other witnesses in the train that were looking at it also. She came forward with a report, and this came out in the Cryptozoology News also.
These were both in the day, right?
Excuse me?
These were both in the day, right? The Arizona one and the one in England.
During the day, yeah.
Yeah.
And according to her, this troll looked to her like... something out of the Lord of the Rings, if you're familiar with that, you know.
Yeah.
Trolls there. Which is interesting. You know, it seems like these reports were like from the 70s to the 60s. Now we're getting reports of all kinds of creatures. Not only the graves, the so-called graves, but now it's just a menagerie of things out there.
I think it's because people see all kinds of things. It's just they don't really have any place to report them, at least as like, you know, because UFO groups would, if you're just talking about a troll running across a field, they don't care about that. They care about alien grays coming out of spaceships.
Right.
You know what also is interesting is you said you didn't hear from anybody else on the train. That's kind of weird. You would think everybody on the train would get excited and started talking, or did they? Did anybody say anything?
She said there was a mother and child talking, and they're pointing at it, a couple of the people. But, you know, with these things, I found out that a lot of people, after seeing something like this, they just forget about it. They don't even talk about it. Or at that moment, they forget after what they've seen.
Yeah.
It's some kind of weird reaction. It's like a self-defense mechanism, I think. You want to put that out of your mind because it's totally unreal or not normal.
Yeah, yeah.
There's another case this year, January 31st, Vancouver, Washington. Very interesting case. A lone motorist, 2:45 a.m., driving on the Patton Parkway overpass, reported seeing a 7-foot-tall translucent entity.
Huh.
It looked transparent, crossing the road. The window slammed on the brakes. This entity appeared in the middle of the road, and appeared to be hovering above the road. It wasn't walking on the road. It was about 5 feet above the ground in the middle of the freeway.
Yeah.
It was about a 1.5 car length ahead of the witness, and it kind of stared straight at the witness, and we felt a strange fear at the looking at this creature. All he could see was that it was about 7 feet tall. It had long, lanky limbs. It didn't appear to be clothed, yet it didn't appear naked. It was reflecting everything around it. Now you could see through it, but still had an obvious, definite form. It had a human-like form, except that it had two semi-long flaps of skin or hair. It was hard to distinguish what it was. It were attached to the head from its profile. It looked like it had slicked back hair. That's kind of weird.
Yeah.
The head would move and graduated into those two flaps by the nape of the neck. They're about 6 inches long. Now, after the thing crossed the road, it disappeared into a wooded field across the street. And the witness just kept on driving. He submitted a report to MUFON, Mutual UFO Network.
Yeah.
I mean, this is not your typical Bigfoot, whatever that was. I don't know.
Who knows what that is. Do you take reports go ahead. You want to describe some more?
Talking about Bigfoot, that right before that, on the 28th, from a place called Columbiana, Ohio, a 17-year-old teenager claimed he saw a Bigfoot-type creature, and he crashed his car. After he saw the creature, he crashed into a rock. He was given a ticket by the trooper, but the trooper stated that he didn't think that he was under the influence of any illicit drugs or alcohol. The interesting part here is that the teenager said that the creature was about 7 feet tall, and he had green glowing eyes. Very well built, that creature. And it crossed the road up two in front of the vehicle, and that's what, according to him, made him crash into the rock. I mean, if I crashed my car, I wouldn't come out with an excuse like that, you know.
A teenager might. I don't know. Did anybody look to see if there were any footprints or anybody else around, a witness, anything like that? I guess you just have the teenager.
I read the newspaper account doesn't say anything. They just mentioned about the trooper reporting that he didn't think the teenager was high on drugs or whatever. But no, there's no mention of footprints or anything like that.
Okay.
Now, there's another case here that I found kind of ominous, very interesting, and scary. This is from Florida, a place called Tabaris. I think it's near Tampa. This is January 20th, 2014. Around 10:20, a witness, a man, a male, he was by himself. He just left work and was taking what he called a less traveled road back home. They called Old Road 441. Everything was going normal until he came to a red light. He stopped at a red light. There were no cars in the road at all, just him sitting there by himself, strangely. Suddenly, he seemed to the witness that at his time had stood still, like he was in a vacuum. He was like, I heard this report. I heard this many times before. But anyway, the sounds around him, according to him, appear to be long and drawn out.
Uh-huh.
When he came to a full stop, suddenly out of the darkness, on the passenger side of the vehicle, what looked like, he described, a teenager appeared about 15 feet from the car. Now, this so-called teenager was wearing a blue jeans and a hoodie that was up over his head. From what the witness can tell, he had little to no facial features, especially the eyes. He said the eyes were blacker than the darkness, extremely black eyes. Excuse me. I'm losing my voice. The witness felt fear, quote, beyond explanation. He turned his gaze off the teenager and looked back towards the light when he saw what looked like an identical twin of this teenager crossing the road very, very slowly in front of his car. I thought to haul him up if the light did change. the next thing he knew, the boy was at the side of his vehicle, his car. Approaching the car, I thought he was going to get in. And the witness was filled with an overwhelming fear. I thought he was going to die. He really thought for some reason he was going to die. He doesn't know why. Mm-hmm. At that time, he remembered thinking to himself, this is the angel of death. This is a direct quote from this guy. He thought about running the red light. I would have done that already. I'll tell you. Anyway, and I had a feeling that somehow the two strange figures, wherever they were talking to each other without talking out loud, maybe mental telepathy.
Yeah.
As far as he knew, the figure never touched the car. Another car started to approach, thank God, from behind, and the light changed. As he was leaving, he looked back, and both teenagers were gone. He was so frightened that he thought that the two strange beings were going to show up at his house. Thankfully, they did not.
Mm-hmm.
It sounds like to me like some kind of a black-eyed kid encounter. Which,
yeah.
We've been getting a lot of those lately. This is from paranormal.com, where people submit their stories there.
Yeah.
And this guy felt very legit to me. Let's see, and in January, this is from January 20th, same date, a little earlier, about 6 p.m., a place called Marshall, Oklahoma.
Mm-hmm.
And there's another entity crossing the road. I guess everybody's crossing the road. he reported seeing another translucent humanoid figure crossing County Road 61, just west of the intersection with Council Road in far northwest Logan County in Oklahoma. According to the witness, this figure has extremely long and thin arms. This is similar to the creature up in Washington. It had an egg-shaped head, no nose, his eyes were small eyes, and he had large pointed teeth. That's weird. It moved extremely quickly across the road in all fours. And at this point, the witnesses go away and did not see it again. That's kind of a strange creature. Maybe with some type of skinwalker or something.
Yeah.
Space shifter.
Yeah.
Who knows?
Do you have any reports of anything besides, like, any weird-looking animals, or do you just take humanoid reports?
Well, this is sort of like an animal. There's a report also from January earlier. This is, believe it or not, from Point Pleasant, West Virginia.
I think I read this one.
Yeah, about the wolfman.
Okay, no, I didn't read that one. There were a couple of, like, Mothman-type things. One was something that looked like it had a bald head and leathery skin, and the other one was, I can't remember what the other one. Those were more classic Mothman, but they had the glowing eyes and all that. But this is Point Pleasant, so I didn't read this one.
From this year? Well, this year, this is from Point Pleasant, West Virginia, January 12th. This witness was at a locality there known as Cat's Eye on Madison Avenue. She was sitting on her front porch in an enclosed patio with a few large windows.
Mm-hmm.
One window opened in the front, beside the front door, smoking a cigarette. Okay. It was after 11 p.m. already, and according to her, visibility was good, up to 100 feet because of the streetlight. She said before the sighting, she had heard strange noises, and the local dogs had been going nuts for some reason. As she spoke to Siri, she noticed a movement and thinking it was someone walking down the railroad tracks nearby there. She looked up and saw something that, this is a quote, blew her mind. It was, in their words, a thing that had a head of a dog, almost exactly like a German Shepherd, and was walking like a person on two legs. She said she saw his eyes, and that's when she noticed he was staring at her. She said that she became lost, quote again, lost in his eyes. Any other description she cannot recall clearly after seeing it. It looked at her, and then she, and seeing his eyes, she's kind of like lost track of time. She said it was rather a dark color and almost had the look of wearing an oversized black sweatshirt. But she didn't think it was a sweatshirt, but it was. Do you think it was hair or her fur? She said its height was in a neighborhood about 6 feet, maybe a bit less. And she stated that several times the eyes drew her in. The creature took a couple steps towards her, and at that time she saw a flash of light. The creature looked towards the direction, and it was originally heading, and in a very quick movement, spun around and took off in the direction it had come from. That brief flash of light, she soon found out, was her mother's headlight, as she had turned into the road within her vehicle coming back home. She repeatedly asked her mother if she had seen anything near the railroad track when she was near home. Her mother had not seen the creature. And she said, interestingly, directly across from the witness home, there's a government installation that has an array of cameras installed over the entire property. It doesn't really specify what kind of government installation, but maybe they saw something.
Yeah, maybe. Well, I don't think we're ever going to see that. We're not going to see that footage. Hey, that actually reminds me. Do you get reports from security cameras? Because, you know, that stuff is all over, you know, YouTube. Who knows whether it's real or not? But how many of those do you get?
I got one submitted to me by a friend of mine. It looked like in their back patio, they had a little, surveillance camera.
Yeah.
It picked up a very bright light that was flying right above the ground, very small. Maybe about 6 inches, but it's very white and very bright. And it just hovered there over the grass for a few seconds, maybe 15 to 20 seconds, and then poof, just shot away. They had no idea what could have been. They showed it to me, and I have it somewhere in my computer, which I have to find it again. But I thought it was interesting. Yeah, but all those things you see in YouTube, you never know, because it's so easy now to put fake stuff up there. And,
yeah, like that thing climbing up the building. I like that, but it looks fake.
99% of the stuff.
Yeah.
Well, now, you know, moving up a little bit, now there's a report on January 17th, Kansas. The location is not given, the exact location. This is more of a more normal report, if you can say that. A witness driving to work when he saw what he thought was an airplane or a helicopter. Excuse me. As he got closer to it and drove past it, the witness realized that it was a triangular-shaped craft with windows. And inside the windows, he could see humanoid entities looking out. There's no description exactly, but he can tell they were human-like. Yeah, there is a description. The creatures he saw inside, they appear to be Caucasian, with light brown hair and had gray uniforms on. He saw two of them, and they looked like they were standing one in front, the one behind. They were looking out the window. And he said that this craft was triangular shaped. He didn't hear any noise, but who knows, maybe it was some kind of government aircraft. I don't know.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Do you think that you know, the humanoid reports have been around for a long time, and they seem to drop off, I guess, after the 70s. And the only time they seem to have gotten more active is recently when you started cataloging them, which makes me think that people just weren't reporting them. It was still happening. It was just no place for people to report it.
I think you're right. It seems like after 1979, there was a drop off. There were more reports. You know, what happened was, the abduction scenario took over.
Yeah.
The people were not interested. I saw a craft land, and a little man came out and ran back in. Now, that they were now talking about, I lost some time, and they were hypnotically regressed, and then they remember being abducted. The abduction scenario took over ufology back in 80, 81.
Yeah.
If you remember when Bud Hopkins, rest in peace, wrote his, you know, Missing Time book.
Yeah.
And The Intruder, Sarcophagi Woods, and then Woodley Strieber also with his book Communion.
Yeah.
That's what happened. In the 80s, the abduction phenomena took over ufology. I mean, Close Encounters was a third kind were in the 70s.
Yeah.
Now it's more of a mixture. We're getting more and more humanoid reports, like you were saying. Started in the late 80s, definitely in 88. And strangely, that's when I started cataloging. I had done cataloging before, but I had given up a couple of years, and all of a sudden in 88, I decided to start doing it again. And that's when the big UFO wave occurred in Russia in 89, 90.
Oh, yeah,
and
yeah.
All those started coming out as former Soviet Union.
Mm-hmm.
It took off from there. It's like it has never stopped. Especially then in the 90s, we got all the cases from Puerto Rico, Chupacabra. And it's just right now it's like it's a mixture of all kinds of them, you know.
Right.
Incidents, abductions, encounters, all over the place.
It seems like people either didn't want to report it or they thought it didn't fit in. Or if it did, they did report it, UFO organizations didn't care. There was no place to put the reports, which reminds me of another thing we were talking earlier. You said about people will see something and then they'll just forget about it immediately. I guess it's called an Oz factor or something like that. But according to Jenny Randles, I think she coined that term. But
yes.
I think we talked about this last time. I spoke with Dean Radin a long time ago for an interview. And we were talking about weird experiences, not necessarily humanoid or UFO, but just kind of psychic experiences or weird experiences. What his idea was when something very strange happens, your brain doesn't have any place to put it. So it just kind of falls off. It just falls off the table. There's no folder or drawer or whatever to put it in.
Exactly. And then you only remember like 2 days later and go, wait a minute. What I saw 2 days ago, that wasn't normal.
Yeah.
I mean, or sometimes you don't even remember right away. You forget about it.
Yeah, some people remember years later. I remember Bud Hopkins talked about this with abduction stuff. There'd be a group of people, and then like 20 years later, one of them would mention it, and none of them had thought of this weird evening they had since that time.
Exactly, yeah. And that's happened to me before. And at that moment, when you're seeing that, you're like, that's why people say, you know, there's no more, there's not enough video or photographic evidence, but at that moment you don't think of running and getting a camera. Maybe one or two people say they do that, but it's really hard when you're staring at something like that. Your mind is not thinking about running and getting a camera, or a video or your cell phone.
Yeah,
I don't know. It's just this mind just comes to a standstill. All there is you and the phenomenon staring you in the eye.
Yeah, and there's a time dilation, everything. Everything seems to be going, you know, it could be 30 seconds, but it seems like 5 minutes or whatever. I've heard people talk about that. The other thing it brings to mind is I was talking with Richard Sennett, the ghost expert from Southern California here, and I said, what happens when people see some sort of entity, a ghost or whatever you want to call it? And I said, what's the reaction? And he said, it's kind of a stunned amazement. You know, they're not afraid, not right away anyway. You think of, you know, think of Scooby-Doo cartoons where they go, oh no, a ghost, and they run. He said a lot of people just kind of stand there because they don't exactly know what to make of it at first. It takes a while because your brain is just going, ah, what's that? You know, and this sounds like what, you know, the exact same thing happens with a lot of these entities.
A lot of it depends too on the type of entity. Like I was reading recently about the shadow people or the shadow, whatever you want to call them.
Yeah.
A lot of these encounters, it comes with fear. There's a lot of very strong emotion there. There's a very, for some reason, those encounters elicit a lot of fear from the witness. And that's happened to me. I remember one time I was in bed by myself. I got on bed early. I was feeling very tired, and I went to bed, and I turned the lights off, which I normally don't do that. I always have keep a little night light on.
Yeah.
I do. It's my personal thing, but I didn't that night, and all of a sudden, I woke up in a sweat, scared out of my mind. I didn't know what. I looked inside of the bed. There was a figure there. Black. Totally black, but it was a figure. It was definitely there.
Uh-huh.
I screamed. That was all I could do. I screamed, and then my wife, she was in the living room. She heard me. She ran in, turned the lights on immediately, and then whatever was there vanished or disappeared. But I swear to God, I was awake when I saw that there, and there was something there standing next to me. I was in the bed. And at this place where we lived, there's a lot of weird stuff happened there. Anyway, there was one time I walked into that same room, and there was something in the mirror that looked like a figure dressed in some kind of tattered clothing or a smock or something. And I looked, I go, wait a minute, there's nobody in front of me. I looked, and it was gone. But there was definitely had been something there. And one of my sons in that same house told me that I saw a guy that looked like a monk dressed in a brown smock, the monk thing with a beard.
Yeah. The other thing, when you mentioned your that thing next to your bed, the other thing it brought to mind was another thing that Richard said. I said, what is it? People are amazed and stunned and whatever, and some people are kind of scared, especially because it usually just looks like a regular person until they walk away and disappear or go through a wall or whatever. But I said, what's the thing that scares people the most? I mean, in your experience, people you've talked to, and he said the thing that really bothers people, the one thing, one of the few things he could think of was figures that are just black. They're just a black outline. And the inside of it is just not outline. I mean, it's just like a hole. And he said, somebody can see this in the dark, and the black in the middle of the figure is blacker than anything in the room. I mean, it's just the
black.
Yeah, and he said that really bothers people. And he's talked to a lot of people that had seen that, and it really frightened them. As opposed to people had just seen it, what you would normally call a ghost, which is somebody that is walking around and they've got old clothes on, and you're wondering what they're doing dressed in those clothes, and then they they dematerialize or whatever. But the black figures, he said, would really bother people.
Well, some of these black figures too have some of the witnesses that reported that they have red eyes, red glowing eyes, which is even scarier.
Yeah.
I mean, the one that I saw didn't have, I didn't see any eyes. It was just a black figure.
Right.
And in that room, I used to see a lot of weird stuff in there. Thank God I don't live there anymore, but it was more into the, not humanoid, but into the ghost or other type of entity.
Yeah, whatever category we want to put them in.
Yeah. Some of them you can't really categorize there, so I don't know. So weird.
Yeah, well, that's the one of the things that fascinates me about the Humanoid Sighting Report site that you run, Journal of Humanoid Studies and Sighting Reports, is your categorizations. And one of them is Type X, which I like. Where I think I have it. When the situation is so uncanny it doesn't fit any other classifications.
I know, it seems like lately I've been updating my catalog every night, and it seems like every day I find more of these Type X, because I can't fit into the other categories, and they're weirder and stranger.
What is a Type X? I mean, as an example.
I tell you right now, there's cases, and which I don't know if you have heard, and people have, there's some cases in England and Russia. For example, this lady was in the field with her family picnicking, and this is in from England, 78, I believe. And they saw a craft land over a little hill. They ran over there, and there were some entities standing or milling around the craft. Then she saw another figure near them standing, and it was, to her, it was the figure of her dead father. He was there also. I don't know if he was there for some kind of sort of warning to her, or according to her, he was just staring at her. And this is not the first time I hear something like this. I you know, you can only categorize this type of report as it's true. You know, this report, I believe, was investigated by Denny Randles and another British ufologist. But
okay,
you can only categorize that as an X. I don't know where to put that. There's another report out of Russia which was forwarded to me by an investigator over there. He translated it for me. This lady went out into the woods, picked mushrooms. Hopefully she didn't eat any of them. And in a clearing, she saw a man wearing some kind of a brown outfit, and he was standing near his back to her. All of a sudden, he turns around, and is her dead brother. He has been dead for maybe a couple of years. She said he looked younger. He was wearing some kind of brown outfit, and he was just standing there smiling at her. And she felt that she heard a message saying that I have to go now. And then she said there was a puff of smoke, and all of a sudden he disappeared into a bright sphere of light, and he just took off. Now, what do you make that? I don't know. I include that case in my category, and I make those type X. I mean, they're more into the spirit realm, but
yeah.
The way that what happened, you know, the sphere and the light, it also has a little UFO phenomenon there also. There's cases, you know, modern-day encounters with leprechauns, you know. This guy out in Colorado hunting in the woods, hunting bear, and he hears a noise and looks. There's a little guy dressed in green with a little green hat that leprechauns wear. You know, exactly like a leprechaun will be in the middle of the woods in Colorado. And
yeah,
then there's another
I've heard of these before, yeah. And not just there. Go ahead.
A lady that contacted me personally and woke up in the middle of the night, and standing at the edge of her bed was a little man. According to her, he looked like your typical leprechaun, smiling at her. She was wide awake. And I talked to her, and very nice lady, and she was totally serious, and I believe she actually saw what she told me she saw, leprechaun.
These people that call you, I guess most of them, probably just the majority of them, don't want to have you write a story about them or anything. What it sounds like, and this has happened to me too, and, you know, when I used to lecture a little bit more, people would come and tell you the story just because they wanted somebody to tell it to, that somebody that wouldn't laugh at them or tell them to shut up. That's all they wanted. And then when they were done, they leave. That's all they wanted. Just get it off their chest.
I tell them that it's important for everyone to tell their story. Don't keep it with you. Tell the story to somebody. I think it's going to be important one day that everybody tells of their encounters or what's going on. That's what I tell people when they contact me. I have people contact me, and then they promise they're going to tell me what happened, but I never hear from them again also. So maybe they changed their mind.
Yeah, maybe they did. Why do you think it'd be important?
I think it in the future for I don't know, some kind of database of and we're changing as a species or evolving, and maybe this is part of the process. We see what you know, that we're not alone per se here in the world or in the universe. There's other beings or entities out here. Are we going to be a part maybe of, you know, of other realms, or I don't know, but I think it would be important.
Do you think that this is a loaded question, although and you probably get it a lot from certain people, but how much do you think is, if you looked at all the reports, how much do you think is accurate, meaning how much do you think are coming from the people, and not necessarily hoaxes or made up or anything like that, but how much do you think is coming from the people themselves and what they think they saw, as opposed to what it was that it was actually there? Do you think they're reporting exactly what was actually there, or do you think, for instance, if there's another witness there, do they all see the same thing all the time?
Most of the cases that people contact me directly have been sole witnesses, only one witness, a few, one or two. Locally had people, three or four witnesses out there in the East Everglades. A lot of weird stuff goes on there.
Huh.
But I think it's pretty accurate, the way to describe. The ones that, I mean, I get pretty skeptical when somebody calls up and they tell me that I've been abducted by the Greys. That seems too much of a Hollywood thing to me. I go, yeah, sure. Everybody has. I believe more somebody like this. I believe a person more that tells me she saw a leprechaun standing by her bed than somebody telling me that they were abducted by Greys. I don't know why, but I think that I have a feeling.
I don't know why either, but I totally agree with you. The stranger it is, the more, how ridiculously creative would somebody have to be just for attention or make something up? Either, you know, you would think they would just stick to whatever cultural norm you're talking about, like, you know, aliens or Greys or whatever you want to call it. But then you have things like these outlines walking around on roads or...
The stick man, you know,
that
I've been seeing late. I mean, my point exactly, the weirder, the more believable, in my view.
I don't know why this came to my mind, but I remember reading one recently that doesn't really fit in with anything else. It was quite creepy. It was the one from Maryland, I think, in 2011. It was somebody that said their dog started getting upset, and they looked out the window, and there was somebody standing out there with long forearms or something, and they had... what happened was the person was just, whatever it was just standing there, I guess a couple hundred feet away, and telepathically they got a message, and the message was, what is it? I am not witch, I am you.
What they say? What they say, I am not.
This is from your site. It's I think it's Gaithersburg, Maryland, from December 2011. I think it was somebody that was sitting there in their house with their dog, and the dog got upset, and the person, for some reason, looked out the window, and there was something standing there, like a figure, not too close, but it had like a hoodie or something on where its head was covered, and they couldn't really see a face, but the forearms were really, really long, like the top part of the arm was short, and the bottom part of the arm, your forearm that goes to your hand, was really long. It was just standing there with its hands or whatever it was in its pockets. And the person said that they got a telepathic message from whatever it was. And the only thing it kept repeating over and over was, I am not witch, I am you.
I believe that was from January, was it 2011?
I think so. I had it written down, or like I typed it into my phone, but I can't see it right now.
Oh, here we go. Yeah. From Gaithersburg. I got this from the, from the UFO Northwest site. They have a lot of good cases there. I don't know if you ever checked their site.
No, I'm going to now.
UFOs Northwest. Very, this guy has a large database there. Pretty, a lot of good information. His last name is Puckett, I believe. Yeah, Jim Puckett. And yeah, this is the case right here. They looked at it. It was a small figure, 5 feet tall, wearing a hood. It appeared to be faceless. Yeah, they had short upper arms and long forearms.
Yeah.
And the creature tried to communicate with witness via telepathy, and he kept saying, I'm not a witch, I am you. Which maybe that was its way of saying that, not to be afraid, I'm not a witch. Maybe that's the only way it can convey it, which it didn't really make too much sense, but maybe it was in a sort of way of saying that it wasn't evil, maybe, that it was just like us. Maybe that's what he meant to say.
Oh, I see, yeah.
Interesting. Yeah, Gaithersburg, Maryland.
Do you have go ahead.
Go ahead, Dan. Tell me.
Do you have anybody, how much of the database is repeaters? I mean, people that have more than one encounter.
You know what? I think that most people that have weird encounters are repeaters.
Really?
Like, I believe so. I think it goes through... Through the life, it's a lifelong sequence of events. I think most people are repeaters. You know, back in the 50s and 60s, even our 70s, early 70s, if you were a repeater, they completely ignored you, or they thought you were a cook, or, I mean, a nut, or, you know, they...
Yeah.
The NICAP, APRO, and all these UFO groups, if they encounter a repeater, they completely disregarded this person. They were not taken serious.
Yeah.
And I can see maybe back then, but I think most people are repeaters. Most people that I talk to, they have exceptions. People that only encounter one time, and that's it. It happened. Or maybe they don't want to talk about what, if they've seen other stuff. But most people that I talk to, they go, yeah, and I remember 10 years ago as a child, I had another experience. My parents also, my grandmother used to tell me, and it goes back. Well, you know, the family, for maybe generations, I believe. Yeah.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Like I say, back in the 50s and 60s, if you were a repeater, you were they will say that you were labeled a hoaxer.
Yeah, exactly. The first time I noticed this or that phenomenon, and that had been closed off, I think I wrote about this once, but I was reading Charles Hickson's book. He wrote a writer with him helping him write it. I think he probably dictated it to this guy. But I think the guy's name was Mendez. But in his book, he talks, people don't realize that Hickson and Parker, the Pascagoula incident, I don't know about, I can't remember Parker's last first name, but Charles Hickson had two more encounters after that.
He did. In 1974, I believe he had an encounter, but he was by himself hunting, I believe.
Yeah, in the woods hunting, yeah. And the other one was in the car with his family.
Yeah, not too many people know that. Now, Parker came out recently and he added information as to what happened in the encounter. Because at the beginning, Parker, he completely dropped out of sight. He didn't want to talk to anybody about what happened.
Yeah.
Now, lately he's been more outspoken. That's a very compelling case, if you ask me. I don't know what they encounter or what happened to them, but that was a very compelling case.
Yeah, and it seems like, he doesn't talk about anything happening to him, as I remember, in the book before that incident, but stuff happened afterwards. And he said he had communication with them, and they said they would come back for him or something like that. Kind of typical stuff that people usually say when they're a repeater. A lot of them where they have some kind of contact and they say, well, you're chosen, or we'll be back, or we'll see you again at this time. And, most of the time things never come back. But there is a history of repeating like that, and that message, like the person is chosen somehow. He didn't, in the book, he didn't say I'm special or anything like that. He was kind of befuddled by it. He says, I don't know why they even pay attention to me. I'm not important.
Right, right. A lot of people think that way. Why me? I mean, why not the president or somebody really important?
Yeah.
Who knows?
Yeah, so the repeater thing, I think I wrote something a few years ago where I just said, I think we should reassess the repeater thing. And I believe that people that are into it now don't have, it doesn't have the stigma like you said that it used to.
No, definitely. I think the stigma is completely gone now. It's more like I've been seeing these things all my life, or my family has, my grandfather. I think it might have been that way before, but people didn't want to say it who it was.
There right.
Was, like you said, there was a stigma about it. You didn't want to talk about that. Yeah, it was bad enough saying one that you saw something at one time, and then you said it, that you've seen it again or before, then you forget it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know if we talked about this last time, and I if we did, I don't care. But I really liked your article on the, Cosmic Cars?
Oh, okay, yeah. You know what? I every time I read that article, I say, man, I could have included 20 more cases in there.
Okay, what's your favorite car episode with entities and cars?
The Telly Savalas, case is very interesting.
Yeah.
More like a spirit type of case, but there's... that case from Indiana, that was pretty weird, where the guy was followed by what it looked like a Volkswagen. I don't know if I included that case from Minnesota, in which the old couple were followed by a black, what they described was a Cadillac. And it was in 75. Every time they stopped to call from a payphone, they were going to call the police or something. No cell phones like that. The black Cadillac will stop next to them, and the two men will come out and run into the payphone before they did, and they won't let them use the payphone. This happened about 3 or 4 times, and then they said that the black Cadillac just shot up into the sky and disappeared. And then there's the case here in South Miami that happened in 61. Back then, South Bay wasn't, you know, there was tomato fields over there and strawberry fields. This guy was driving on US 1 near 136th Street, and he saw a big cigar shape off the sand from the sky. He said something that looked like a large elevator descended to the ground, a big door opened. Or a hatch, and out of there, and then cars started coming out of the thing. They looked normal cars, like Fords, and they just got into the US-1, drove away. He said about 3 or 4 cars. Now, the funny thing about this is not a unique case.
What?
Years later, I got a case from the Ukraine, from a researcher. He sent me the translation, and it was almost verbatim, another witness reported an object landing and a car coming out. And I'm sure this guy hasn't heard about this case here in South Miami from 1961. And the Ukrainian case was from 1990.
Cars coming out of what? Something that just comes out of the sky that looks like an elevator, you said.
Yeah, it was a cigar shape, and then something protruded from the bottom.
Oh,
like
I see.
A large elevator. And
yeah.
A door opened, and the car started coming out. There were several men in the vehicles. They're wearing black suits or dark suits, but human, you know, completely human looking.
Yeah.
No grays driving cars.
I don't think there were grays doing anything before 1988 or 9, or I'm sorry, 1979, 1980.
Yeah, very few. If you look at the Magonia list, passport in Magonia.
Yeah.
A lot of entity cases there, and none of them are grays. And then there's the other entity catalog from Flying Saucer Review, the humanoids.
Yeah, Charles Bowen's book.
Yeah, Hanlon. If you read they break up the cases in the UK, South America, Europe, France. None of the entities there are described as grays either. Your typical gray, short, large pear-shaped head, black eyes.
Yeah, they all look like either little men or stocky humans.
I'm not saying that there hasn't been, all those cases are not, you know, there hasn't been cases of gray type entities. I'm sure there have. Maybe this is some new species that suddenly appeared or showed up. I don't know. But then, all I'm saying is in the 50s and 60s, you didn't hear that, or even early 70s, you didn't hear that type of, like, you know, humanoid or entity.
Well, no, you didn't, because I think people, when they see something strange now or something strange happens to them, they sort of have a box to put it in. So whatever it is they saw, I think they're gonna conform to the norm of whatever they're supposed to be seeing. And that may be a result of communication getting a lot better. And, you know, that image has gotten to a lot more people than it would have 20, 30, 40 years ago.
There was also the movies that come out lately, that there was one movie that, I don't remember the name, but it was about maybe UFO abductions, and all they talked about was the grays, and then they also mentioned the reptilians. And they said, yeah, there was supposed to be an expert in the movie that he said, yeah, the grays are the ones, and then there's the reptilians. And I mean, that's a lot of people that are not familiar with the subject, they think you know, that's all there is to it, you know.
And then, yeah, there's so many more of them. I mean, I guess Ken Gerhard just wrote that Flying Humanoid book, and I'm sure you have a lot of Flying Humanoid. You know, most of the Flying Humanoids seem to be in Mexico or Eastern Europe. Am I right there? Most of the cases that the people talk about Flying Humanoids
lately has been a lot of Mexico and Chile.
Yeah.
Late last year, there were several cases from the capital in Chile. South America and Argentina has been, but there's also a lot in the U.S. in Pennsylvania. It's like
oh, really? I didn't know that. I thought it was like almost unheard of in the United States.
No. There's cases here, even down in California. There's cases. Look at the database from the 2010 to 2014. There's several cases there of winged or flying entities in the U.S. As a matter of fact, there's many cases. Peru's a little bit, but you should be able to find a lot of them there. And they're not all, and there's different types too. There's not all, look like Mothman. There is just different types of flying entities everywhere.
Right.
So, I think we had a good talk tonight because I'm kind of losing my voice already. So I think, is it okay? We do this. Finish doing this another day?
Yes, that's fine.
I'm sorry I had to cut this short, but my throat is really bothering me right now.
Oh, no, I don't mind at all. I'm surprised at you and thankful that you stayed up and stuck with me this long. So, yeah, of course we'll continue it. I love talking to you about this.
This time we didn't have any interference in the phone either. So.
I know.
So, Greg, it's been great talking to you. Let me know, and I'll put it in my Humanoid page. Okay, man.
Okay, all thanks great. So much again. And, get well soon, and I'll talk to you soon.
You're welcome, man. Great talking to you.
All right. Bye. See ya.
Take care now.
They found the world, they quickly flew away. Look at him